closely through a pocket magnifying glass. It was without flaw or blemish. The purity of it seemed almost to melt into the atmosphere out of his hand. In the shade it was softly luminous, gleaming like a tender moon. So translucently white was it that when he dropped it into a glass of water he had difficulty in finding it. So straight and swiftly had it sunk to the bottom that he knew its weight was excellent. "Well, what do you want for it?" he asked with a fine assumption of nonchalance. "I want," Mapuhi began, and behind him, framing his own dark face, the dark faces of two women and a girl nodded concurrence in what he wanted. Their heads were bent forward. They were animated by a suppressed eagerness. Their eyes flashed avariciously. "I want a house," Mapuhi went on. "It must have a roof of galvanized iron and an octagon drop clock. It must be 6 fathoms long with a porch all around. A big room must be in the center, with a round table in the middle of it and the octagon drop clock on the wall. There must be 4 bedrooms, 2 on each side of the big room, and in each bedroom must be an iron bed, 2 chairs, and a washstand. And back of the house must be a kitchen, a good kitchen, with pots and pans and a stove. And you must build the house on my island, which is Fakarava." "Is that all?" Raoul asked incredulously. "There must be a sewing machine," spoke up Tefara, Mapui's wife. "Not forgetting the octagon drop clock," added Nauri, Mapui's mother. "Yes, that is all," said Mapuhi. Young Raoul laughed. He laughed long and heartily. But while he laughed, he secretly performed problems in mental arithmetic. He had never built a house in his life, and his notions concerning house building were hazy. While he laughed, he calculated the cost of the voyage to Tahiti for materials, of the materials themselves, of the voyage back again to Fakarava, and the cost of landing the materials and of building the house. It would come to 4,000 French dollars, allowing a margin for safety. 4,000 French dollars were equivalent to 20,000 francs. It was impossible. How was he to know the value of such a pearl? 20,000 francs was a lot of money, and of his mother's money at that. "Mapuhi," he said, "you are a big fool. Set a money price." But Mapuhi shook his head, and the 3 heads behind him shook with his. "I want the house," he said. "It must be 6 fathoms long with a porch all around." "Yes, yes," Raoul interrupted. "I know all about your house, but it won't do. I'll give you 1,000 Chile dollars. The 4 heads chorused a silent negative. "And 100 Chile dollars in trade." "I want the house," Mapuhi began. "What good will the house do you?" Raoul demanded. "The first hurricane that comes along will wash it away. You ought to know. Captain Raffi says it looks like a hurricane right now."
"Not on Fakarava," said Mapuhi. "The land is much higher there. On this island, yes. Any hurricane can sweep Hikueru. I will have the house on Fakarava. It must be 6 fathoms long, with a porch all around." And Raoul listened again to the tale of the house. Several hours he spent in the endeavor to hammer the house obsession out of Mapui's mind. But Mapui's mother and wife, and Engakura, Mapui's daughter, bolstered him in his resolve for the house. Through the open doorway, while he listened for the 20th time to the detailed description of the house that was wanted, Raoul saw his schooner's 2nd boat draw up on the beach. The sailors rested on the oars, advertising haste to be gone. The 1st mate of the Aorai sprang ashore, exchanged a word with the 1-armed native, then hurried toward Raoul. The day grew suddenly dark, as a squall obscured the face of the sun. Across the lagoon, Raoul could